right, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Sunday morning service at Shield of Faith Baptist Church. It's great to see everybody here this morning, ready to sing God's praises, amen. So let's grab our hymn book, please, and we'll turn to song number 247. Let's start off by singing out as loud as we can, 247, Saved, Saved. Found a friend who was all to me on the first.
I found a friend who is all to me. His love is ever true. I love to tell how he lifted me and what his grace.
Caden, will you open us with a word of prayer, please?
Dear Lord, thank you for this time we have to sing praises unto you and to hear your word be preached. I ask that you please bless the singing and that you please bless the preaching to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's turn to song number 121, Like a River Glorious. Another great song. Amen. Song number 121, Like a River Glorious. On the first,
like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious in its pride increase. Perfect yet it floweth fuller every follow, never trade a stand. stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest.
On the last,
every joy or trial falleth from above, traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. We may trust him fully, all for us to do. They who trust him wholly find him wholly true.
Stayed upon Jehovah.
Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest.
Amen.
Right, well, good morning. Welcome to Shield of Faith Baptist Church. So you didn't get a normal bulletin because we're in the process of doing something new, which I'll explain next week when it actually works out. So it's an effort to save ink and minimize these ink problems that we're having. So with that being said here, stuff you already know, weekly church service time, Sunday mornings are at 10:30, Sunday evenings at 6, and Wednesdays are at 7 p.m. And underneath that is a list of soul winning times. So our main soul winning time is 10:30 a.m. Saturday morning, meeting right here. And obviously, when we have events, that is going to be subject to change. 208-391-5323 is the number to call. And let's see here. Tonight, we will be in James chapter number 2. We'll be doing the last half of chapter number 2. And don't forget, I don't know if everybody was here on Wednesday or not, but we started a new challenge, and it started a week ago. So you're already a few days behind, but you got plenty of time to get caught up. So it's basically reading the Old Testament through by the end of the year. There's charts on the entryway table over there, so don't forget to grab one on your way out. It's very reasonable reading plan. You've got plenty of time. I think there's enough grace days to take a whole month off, you know. But don't use them up in the beginning. Wait until you actually start going through it, okay? That's how you got to do it. Or we'll make you do Miss Maribel's challenge. So she's reading the Bible in Spanish, and I think that's what we'll do. We're gonna make you got 2 weeks to learn Spanish and start reading it, and then you got to do Afrikaans with Brother Skull. I'm not doing either one, so I'll stick with the English here. Okay, let's see here. April 2nd. So we're having a church soul winning event. Okay, it's gonna be a few Saturdays from now, but April 2nd, and I'll have more details for you next week. Let's see here, March 13th, was that next Sunday? Yeah, March 13th is next Sunday, so we're going to have a pie day, because it's 314, okay? So it says, come join us for pie social, so it's another pie social, not a pie competition, so you can bring a pie to share if you would like. And don't forget, the daylight savings time is March 13th, also known as next Sunday. And let's see here. We have birthdays and anniversaries for March. And tomorrow is Brother David's birthday. And so he always sings for us every year. He just does it after the live stream stops. So I think this year he's going to sing tonight. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Let's see here. Well, this week's memory verse is Psalm 119, 128, which says, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all thy things to be right, and I hate every false way. We are a family-integrated church, and what that means is we don't separate children from their parents for any reason. There is a daddy-baby room right over here. The mother-baby room is right across the hallway over there. Let's see here. Don't forget to turn your phone off or place it on silent so it's not a distraction. And the very bottom line of the bulletin says this: we should be willing to serve God with our valuable time, not with our spare time. And I made that up on Friday in Spokane. So with that being said, we're going to have one more song before we receive the offering.
All right, let's grab those hymn books one more time, please, and we'll turn to song number 82, When He Cometh. song number 82, When He Cometh. On the first, when he cometh, when he cometh to make up his jewels, all his jewels, precious jewels, his love.
Thank you so much, Lord, for allowing us to be able to meet here this morning. I just pray that you'd bless the church service, Lord, the fellowship to come, everything that we have going on this day. And again, we thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Morning, everyone. Turn to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, we'll start in verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, Thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived, and bare Enoch. And he builded a city, and called his name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. And unto Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mehujael, and Mehujael begat Methusael, and Methusael begat Lamech. And Lamech took unto him two wives, the name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other Zilhah. And Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents, and such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zilhah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zilhah, Hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God said, She hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began man to call upon the name of the Lord. Brother Jeff, you want to pray for us?
All right, amen. Well, last week we had our three-year audit, and I mentioned that we were going to go back to the basics. And so what we're doing is we're just going to spend several weeks on Sunday mornings revisiting basic doctrine and things that we've already covered. And if you remember, I explained the reason why. It's not because, like, oh, you're on the milk, you're acting up, you know, and all. That's not the case at all. It's what we saw last week, you know, with the message that Paul gave to the Ephesian elders, right? And he said, hey, I've spent 3 years with you, and here's what's going to happen. And he basically said, you know, people are going to come in here and try to destroy and disrupt things. You're going to get complacent. So we don't want that to happen, right? And so I think it's good every so often. I just chose 3 years because, you know, I got that from the Bible reading. Kind of a coincidence, reading through, you know, during the New Testament challenge. And was like, oh, 3 years. Yeah, we're having our 3 year. Well, that's a good sermon. I write that down real quick and here you go, right? So that's the whole point, right? Going back to the basics, it's for our benefit. It's to stoke those flames that we all have. It's to make sure that we hate every false way. We don't ever want to lose that zeal, okay? I know what the world says, oh, hate's bad, you're hate cult, whatever, shut your mouth, you know? That's what I got to say to you, you know? We hate every false way, right? That is the whole point of doing this. That is the whole point of drawing a line in the sand and telling people where we stand and why we stand there, okay? So that is why we are doing this. And the title of the sermon this morning is The Birth of Human Achievement. The Birth of Human Achievement. We've spent a lot of, well, at least 2 weeks in this chapter dealing with that Nephilim garbage. And so we're going to kind of review some of that stuff, but it's very necessary. And you say, well, what's human achievement? Well, it's, you know, it's a term that I like to use. I didn't invent it. It's a term that I like to use to describe every denomination, every religion that is in the world other than salvation from the Bible. Okay, the faith as the Bible describes it, and we'll talk about tonight. I had an old pastor, you know, many, many years ago, and he used this term, and I just like to adopt that. You know, hopefully you'll adopt that as well, because when you're out soul winning or you're talking with people, right, and they're telling you they believe like you, they're kind of like you, you know, I believe in Christ, and you know, I'm just like you, I'm a Christian, but you can sense that they actually are trusting in their works, you know, and you bring this phrase to their mind, human achievement, you know, it basically gets what they believe to the forefront of their mind, because everybody hears at least that we're not saved by works, right? I mean, everybody in here has talked with somebody that says, yeah, I go to Create Church, or I go to Journey Church, or I go to, you know, one of these mega churches around here, Life Church, Tree City. It doesn't matter, right? You know, it's a free gift, right? Christ died on the cross for our sins. You know, that's what I trust. That's what I believe. And then you start asking them further questions. What do they say? Well, it's, you know, Christ comes into your heart and helps you to, you know, get all the sin out of your life, right? Isn't that what they tell us? That they tell us that all the time, right? And so we need to be able to communicate to them that's human achievement. That is the religion of the world. That's no different than being a Mormon. It's no different than being a Catholic. It's no different than being a Jehovah's Witness. They are all the same. It's no different than going down to the Mormon, or not the Mormon, but the Masonic Temple, okay, and joining that. It's no different than joining your sorority down here at Boise State University. It's all human achievement. And we need to make sure that we can package it like that so that people just get it and that they understand there's two options: salvation by grace through faith, or probation through your master or your parole officer, which is the head of your organization in the Mormon Church, the Catholic Church, the Jehovah's Witness building without windows, the Kingdom Halls, whatever they are, the Seventh-day Adventist clowns, you know, all of these things, okay? Because it can be confusing to people. And sometimes people have this great question. They're like, there's just so many interpretations and so many, you know, views on the Bible. How do we know what's true? It's easy. There's only two. That's it. There's only two. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. But we're going to talk about the birth of human achievement. How did this come to be? And what can we learn from the birth of human achievement to pass on to other people, to show them the truth, to show them that it is a religion of the world that will not save you? So let's start this off here. Look at verse number 3. We'll take a look at Cain and Abel, okay? Because these are the first two guys that basically start or spark this whole process off, if you would. And look at verse number 3. It says, "And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord." Okay? So if you were to just stop reading there and be like, okay, well, what's the problem there? You know, this guy just grabs an offering and he's bringing it to the Lord. Isn't that a great thing? And that's the attitude that a lot of people have, right? Well, hey, I talked about this on Friday in Spokane, you know. Well, I'm going to give God, you know, I got a spare minute or two. You know, I'll go ahead and pray a little prayer. I'll go ahead and, you know, go to church on Christmas Eve or something like that, or on Easter, right? I'll just go ahead and bring a little offering and he'll respect that. And that's basically what you have here with Cain. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. But look at verse number 4. It says, "And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering." And so you can already see the birth of these two different philosophies. You have Abel, who wants to give of his valuable time, who respects the Lord, who understands what the Lord is after. He's after our hearts. He wants us to put our faith and trust on him and to rely on what he has said. And obviously we know that that is to, in regards to salvation, to trust him fully, not to trust him part way and then the rest on us, but rather to trust him completely. Okay, look at verse number 5. It says, "But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." Well, this is very applicable today, because a lot of times when we're talking with people who say, well, you have to repent of your sins for salvation, or you have to do some kind of works, you have to maintain a relationship, because we all know that Christianity is a relationship, right? It's not a religion. Okay, well, they get very upset when you tell them that their works are nothing, don't they? Their works are garbage. Now, some people get excited and they're like, wait, really? And they should get excited, right? And when you can sense that they're excited, you need to pounce on that and keep going and keep explaining, right? Who are the ones that typically get upset, though? It's usually the leadership. It's the people that are vested in those organizations, isn't it? It's usually those types of people. Well, you can see here that Cain's already made up his mind. He wants to do things his way, yeah, right? He wants to do things his way. He doesn't want to do things God's way. And there's no way you can go back and be like, oh, he didn't know. Oh, they knew, okay? It doesn't tell us everything that God had ever said to this family here, but obviously they knew right from wrong. They knew what to do, because Abel does the proper thing here. But it says very clearly in verse number 5, "But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto him, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen?" Now look at this warning here in verse number 7. It says, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth
at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Okay, this is the danger here. This is the major problem of the world's religion of human achievement. People that are trusting on their works and they won't let it go. Sin lieth at the door. Because a lot of times we'll get questions or we'll get emails and people will say, well, what's wrong if somebody believes on Jesus Christ, but they also believe that they have to clean up their life and they believe that they have to, you know, repent of their sins? Isn't it okay to kind of help God out in that aspect? And the answer is no. Absolutely not, because what does it say there in verse number 7? This is God speaking here. He's telling Cain, hey, look, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Look, God's not a respecter of persons here. And he's simply telling Cain, hey, look, there is a right way to do things and a wrong way. The right way is his way. The wrong way is your way. Okay? But Cain doesn't want that. He wants to mix things up. And that is not okay. That is wrong. That is false doctrine. So look at verse number 8. Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. This is ultimately what we are facing today. This is what happens to us when we go out into the community and we preach the gospel to people, right? We'll every so often come across someone, and all of a sudden, they do not like this, okay? Then they want to lash out at our church, lash out at our people, follow us around the apartment complex, follow us around a neighborhood, taking our invites off of doors. And you ask yourself, well, why are they doing that? Well, because they've got Cain syndrome. That's why. They want their works to be what matters, okay? Human achievement. Look at what I have achieved. Look at what I have done. God has to respect that, okay? But the problem is he doesn't respect it at all. Okay, because what's the standard? I mean, think about that. What's the standard? You know, the Bible's very clear. Cain just brought some offering of the ground, right? That's what people want. They want to be able to come to God on their terms in their way, not his way. God doesn't respect that at all. And we have to be able to understand that, okay? So if you would, jump down to verse number 16, and let's start reading there. So this is obviously after God administers this punishment to Cain and calls him out. In verse 16, it says, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Verse 17, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. So again, nothing wrong with building a city, nothing wrong with being industrious. We've been talking about this for several weeks now, okay? But the problem is here that when you see the split after Abel is gone, now you basically kind of have like two sides of the world, right? This is early human history. So you have Adam and you're going to have his lineage, and we'll talk about that here in a second. And then you have Cain who went out from the presence of the world. That metaphorically represents the religion of the world, the things that matter to the world. They have a different program. You start to see the children of Cain basically glorifying what man can do, what man can build. And what's the end result? Ultimately, the end result is what you read in Genesis chapter number 11. Hey, we can go ahead and build a tower up to God and basically, you know, make a one world government, a one world religion. Okay, that is what is exactly going on today. But what else do you see here in verse number 17? The first thing attributed to the side of Cain, the family of Cain, is human achievement. Okay? I mean, very clear. Look at verse 17. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. Right? That is what is important to the world, what they can achieve, what they can accomplish, what they can do. Okay? It is very, very important that we understand that. And I do have a bottom line for you, and I've said this 1,000 times, and I think it's very applicable, and it's this. The world's religion teaches probation, not salvation. Okay? The world's religion teaches probation, not salvation. And we'll get into that and prove that further here in a moment. You say, well, what's probation? Well, it's the release of an offender from detention subject to a period of supervision and good behavior. Okay? Now, look. Let's take a look at somebody who maybe just got out of prison, okay, and they get on probation or they go on parole, something like that. Now, yes, they're glad, they're excited that they're not locked up anymore. But are they saved from the prison? No. Are they safe from the prison? No, they're not. Because they have to maintain a period of good behavior, right? And there's places they can go, places they can't go. You know, depending on what the setup is, what the agreement was, a lot of times they get out and they can't maybe leave their city.
Okay, maybe they can just go to work and come home and that's it. They have to be monitored. They have to check in with somebody, right? I mean, think about it. Doesn't that sound like a lot of Christians that we talk to today, right? You go knock on their door. Oh, I go to Tree City Church. Oh, great. Okay, great. You know, well, hey, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure you're on your way to heaven? Oh, yeah, I know. Well, great. How do you know? Well, because I'm really turning from my sins and I'm working hard and, you know, God has basically given me the desire to just continuously turn from sin. You say, man, that's a lot of work, isn't it? It's like, yeah. Say, sorry, you know, one thing I like to ask him, well, do you think that, you know, Christianity is just a relationship? Oh, yeah, right? And what do I say next? Relationships take a lot of work, don't they? What do they always say? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they do. You're like, yeah, you got to put a lot of work. It sounds like you're putting a lot of work into your relationship with God, huh? Yeah. You know, then you quote to them Ephesians 2:8-9, where they say, well, we're not saved by works. I feel great. I'm not in bondage anymore, right? They say the same thing that a person says when they get out of prison or they get out of jail and they're on probation, right? They're excited. They're not locked up, but they're not saved. They're not free. It's the same thing with those people. It's the same thing that the Mormons will tell you. Right, we were out soul winning yesterday. We're doing these new townhomes off of Fairview. And the ladies were talking to a Mormon guy, a real arrogant individual. And he was just like, you know, we're saved after all we can do. And I guess he was like, you know, you guys are on like tier one, basically. You haven't even climbed up the levels yet to really get to where you need to be. Look, is that good news? No, that's terrible news. That's terrible, right? Because, look, you go ask that person who's on probation. They know their heart. They know what they used to be into. They know that that temptation is still there, and they know that possibility exists, that if they fall back into that, they're going back to the slammer, right? But the great thing about the Bible, the great thing about salvation, and once that we're saved, we never have to experience that. Right? Because, you know, we fall back into sin all the time, and we know that. We know that's going to happen. But we have that assurance. We have that blessed hope and that trust and that good news of the gospel to realize we're not on probation. We're on a whole nother program. We're going to heaven no matter what. But these people don't know that. But that's the attitude of Seventh-day Adventists, isn't it? Right? Oh, well, if you don't keep the Sabbath, you're going straight to hell. Right. Isn't that what they tell you all the time? They tell us that all the time. Right? And here's the funny thing. They tell us that after they explain to us that there is no hell a lot of times. You know, because there are some sects of Seventh-day Adventists around here, at least, that apparently are teaching the hell is not real. It's just separation from God. There's not really flames and worms. Right? Well, the flames and worms and all that stuff really come out once you reject the idea of going to church on the Sabbath. Right. We asked this lady a couple months ago. I said, well, the Bible says, you know, we should meet together, you know, especially more as you see the day approaching. What do you think about that? Do you think I'd go to hell for having church Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? Yes. Yes. What is that? That's pride, that's arrogance, and that's works, that's human achievement. Look at what I've achieved. I've discovered something that very few people have. I get to go to church on Saturday, and every one of these other people out here, all these other fools are going straight to hell. It makes them feel good, doesn't it? It makes them feel great, right? What does that boil down to? Human achievement. Look at what I've achieved. Look at what I've figured out. Look at what I found. You know, it's the same thing with these Q quacks. You know, these QAnon clowns and these 18,000-foot Nephilim fools. Okay, it's the same thing. They've found some piece of knowledge, right? And they're like, they come in here, oh, look at what I've discovered that I know that no one else does, what I've achieved. Okay, that's the idea. That's what we're talking about. You see, once you get this concept down, man, you can sniff this achievement out in people and hopefully help them. But I know of two who have been in here in the last couple months that you can't help. And they're not getting any help, and that's a whole nother sermon. And I've already dealt with it. So let's skip down here. And review real quick. So again, we just kind of recap the birth of human achievement. We see that from Cain's line. He went out from the presence of the Lord. And then what starts to get attributed to that family are nothing more than achievement of man. And again, quick disclaimer, I'm not against working hard and advancing and getting promotions and doing well for your family, as long as those things don't start to dominate you. Okay, no problem in the world with that at all. Okay, but let's take a look at Adam's lineage now. Look at verse number 25. Genesis chapter 4, verse 25 says this. It says, and Adam knew his wife again. She bare a son and called his name Seth, for God said, she hath appointed me Or for God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew, verse 26. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord, right? So again, you have the two sides of the world. What's attributed to Cain's side is human achievement. What's attributed to Adam's side and from Seth, it's salvation. Okay, and I'm not saying that everybody who was born after or born of Cain went to hell. We don't know that. And I'm not saying that everybody who was born after Seth actually went to heaven. Okay, we don't know. But one thing that we do know is that the gospel began to be important from Adam's side of the earth during early human history. Okay, so let's back up here and talk about some other things. We're going to look at verse number 23. And again, I've already said this, we're focusing on the religion of human achievement, which encompasses everything that is outside of the Word of God, everything that is outside of salvation by grace through faith. Okay. You say, well, what is religion? Okay. Well, religion is devotion. Every human being on this planet is religious. They just don't know it. Okay. Because religion or being religious, again, it's what you're devoted to. Okay, everybody's devoted. People today that are staying home to watch, you know, whatever sports are on TV, that's their religion. That's what they are devoted to, okay? People are devoted to all sorts of things. Some people are devoted to coming into random churches and spreading their filth and their garbage. That's their religion, okay? And we ought to be wise enough, and we definitely are, and smart enough, and we definitely are, to sniff those types of people out, right? Because there are people who have made it their devotion, their religion, to go in and try to tear apart congregations, right? And we don't want that to happen, and we're not going to allow that to happen. So let's take a look at a new character here that we haven't been talking about. Genesis chapter 4, look at verse 23. We're going to talk about Lamech here. Lamech is a very interesting character in the Bible. Actually, if you would, back up to verse 19. Let's introduce Lamech here. Lamech comes from Cain's side of the world here. And it says this in verse number 19, and Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other, Zilpah. Verse 20, and Ada bare Jabal, and he was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. Verse 21, and his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. Okay. And look at verse 22. And Zilpah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. So, again here, what do you have attributed to Cain's side of the world? Well, you have basically two things that are very important to mankind. Music and work, right? It says that Tubal-Cain was a great worker here, right? It says that she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. Well, what's that? You know, well, this guy obviously was very wise in how to use metals and resources and probably led to weapons of warfare, right? Things that are very important to people that subscribe to human achievement. Now, obviously, weapons are important to us. Jesus endorses having a weapon. He just said, hey, don't make that stuff your priority, okay? Don't be obsessed about these types of things, because when you get that way, you become off balance. You're off balance, it's kind of hard to walk. When it's hard to walk, it's hard to walk in the faith. It's hard, you know, then things just start going awry and start going crazy. So let's talk about this clown here, Lamech, because he's a very interesting guy. Look at verse 23. It says this. It says, and Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zilpah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech. So I wonder if Jubal was there playing some instruments while he's saying this stuff. He takes him outside. Hey, we got to really make a good entrance here, okay? I've got this great story here. Right? This is like kind of a picture almost of the first UFC walkout, right? You know, he probably takes him out there. I really want this to hit home to my wives, you know? And Jubal, I'm just kidding. Just kidding, okay? But it says, and Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zilpah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. Verse 24, if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. Now, there is a lot of stuff going on here, okay? First of all, who's the first person in the Bible to have two wives, more than one wife? Well, it's this guy right here, Lamech, okay? You don't read about that in Genesis 1, 2, or 3, do you? It's attributed to this guy. So isn't that kind of funny? The guy who comes from the side of the world that's basically going to dominate the world in the future, because you have to understand that human achievement is the domineering ideology today. How many Baptist churches are in the Treasure Valley that preach the gospel and use the King James Bible? And have, I mean, yeah, there's, I don't know, You know, not very many, right? But how many human achievement organizations are out there? There's several on every single street. They're in your neighborhoods. They're everywhere, right? So with that in mind here, you've got this guy doing his own thing. Well, what's wrong with taking two wives? Are they keeping in contact with the Lord? Are they following his, you know, wisdom and his statutes? Obviously not, because Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, right? These guys are literally, you have to understand this. They're doing whatever they want. Okay, and that's exactly what you have here with Lamech. So he's got these two wives, okay? And obviously this would spill over onto God's people in the Old Testament, and people would take unto them many, many, many wives. But, you know, Jesus said that's not wise. You know, it was never wise. It was never intended to be that way. Now, let's take a look at this speech here that he gives his wives. It says, "Ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt." Now look, if somebody tried to kill you and you beat them in self-defense, look, hey, amen. You know what I mean? You know, we have a right to defend ourselves here. But the problem is he doesn't give God any credit whatsoever, does he? Look at what he says in verse 24. "If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold." Think about that for a second. He's heard the word of God, hasn't he? Because what did God tell Cain? "I'm going to put a mark on you. And whoever slays you is basically going to get this punishment." We'll look at that here in a second. But he says this, "Truly, Lamech 70 and 7-fold. You know what Lamech is saying here? He's basically saying, well, hey, you know, if God's going to slay whoever, or if God's going to basically destroy whoever messes with Cain, then I just took care of myself. So obviously I'm the man. Okay, that's literally what he's saying. That is what he means by this statement here. He's basically saying, hey, I did this without God. I don't even have a mark. I just did self-defense here, so whoever messes with me is going to get smoked big time. They're going to get nuked. I'll beat everyone up, right? That's basically Lamech here. That's literally what he's saying. Look at Genesis 4, verse 14. And let's take a look at what God says here. So this is what Cain says in verse 14. He says, "Behold, thou," talking to the Lord, "behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me." Well, I mentioned this on Wednesday, right? He's not like, "Lord, I'm sorry I did that. How can I make this right?" He's just worried about himself. And that's exactly what the world's religion wants you to do. That is what they teach. That is what they preach. That is what they subscribe to. That's what they're about. Okay? So he's worried about that. And the Lord, being gracious, says this in verse 15. "The Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." So why is that? Because God is the one that wants to administer judgment, right? We shouldn't be, you know, involved in these groups that want to just overthrow the government and stuff like that, right? Let God deal with that. Let him provide the judgment. Let him take care of that. Even though we want to, you know, obviously we're upset with the things that are going on, but let God handle this. Let God do the vengeance here. So it says, "And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him." Okay, so who is going to provide the justice? Who is going to provide the vengeance? Man or God, if somebody were to hurt Cain? God, right. But what does Lamech say? He's like, well, someone messed with me and I killed him. So therefore, hey, I'm better than God. That's literally what Lamech is saying here, okay? And so you say, why bring that up? Because remember, we're dealing with the religion of the world. And I want you to notice three things about Lamech and his statements and just his the way he was as a man. Number one is, again, he is the first person mentioned to take two wives. That is a violation of God's word. His statement about being avenged 70 and sevenfold is a violation of God's word. So we have three things here. We have a violation of God's word from the world's religion of human achievement. We have pride, because you can see pride in that statement to his wives, right? He goes to his wives, "Hear me now, ye wives." Okay. If Cain is going to get avenged sevenfold, and notice how he doesn't even bring up God, right? He's Lamech, surely 70 and sevenfold, because he just took care of himself. And isn't that how the world's religion is? No, I'm responsible. I must turn from my sins. I must work my way to heaven. Jesus just gives me that strength and that power, or whoever your God is. Right? So we have these three things. We have violation of God's word. That is what human achievement, that is what the world's religion basically leads you to. Violating the Bible, violating the word of God. Pride, right? Because what are we told in Deuteronomy that happens to people if they don't read the Bible? They get filled with pride, okay? And what is obviously the third thing? Blindness. Blindness. See, he's so blind, he doesn't get it. He literally thinks that his plan and that his whole situation is better than God's. He literally thinks just because God was going to avenge Cain sevenfold, that somehow he's better than that, right? And that literally, those three things, and there's more. I just boiled it down to those three things. Those three things you can find in every sect, every section of so-called Christianity or quote-unquote religion in this world, okay? And I'm going to prove that to you. So I'm going to just kind of have you hang out where you're at there. I'm going to talk for a few minutes about some of these other religions. And as I read these things, just keep these three things in your mind, okay? All of these three can be found in the world's religion: violating God's word, pride, and blindness. Now, do we as saved, born-again, Bible-believing Christians sometimes fall prey to some of these? Yes, but not to the degree that they have it, okay? Because obviously we know the truth. We know that Jesus Christ died on the cross. We know that he is the satisfaction. He's the propitiation for our sins. There's nothing that we can do. The only thing left to do is to believe. We understand that, right? But we still make mistakes. We still get involved in pride. I'm not talking about that. That's a sermon for another day. I'm talking about these three things literally being proclaimed boldly by leadership and people that are in the world's religion. So let's talk real quick here about the Mormons, okay? The Mormons, and I brought these up first because there's a Mormon tabernacle or a little Mormon hut on every street in the Treasure Valley, it seems like, okay? And we run into them every soul winning time, it seems like. Look, even if you're like, I don't think I talked to a Mormon today, you did. You talked to somebody who grew up, they just didn't tell you, okay? They are everywhere. Okay, they are everywhere. And you say, well, what's the big deal? Well, there's a very big deal, because I'm going to prove to you beyond a shadow of a doubt that these Mormon wards or fellowships, whatever they're called, are cranking out reprobates at an alarming rate. And it's going to change this valley. And it already is. Okay, look at this, or listen to this. I guess we could call the Mormons chameleons, but you guys know that the Mormons are always changing their doctrine based on what's popular in culture, right? You know, I just thought of this, but you know how God placed a mark on Cain? You know what they used to teach in the Mormon church? That those all became black people. And they wouldn't let them into their organization, right? Yeah. That's horrible. And that's not what the Bible's teaching here, right? But then they had a vision in the 70s, right? And they go, oh, we changed that. Well, it's good that you change it because it's stupid. It's not biblical, right? But the fact that they claim that they had a prophet reveal that to them is something else. But they just recently have changed in a big way on something else that's very popular today and that's being glorified and lifted up and that's in our faces every day, especially in June. What do you think that is? The alphabet people. Listen to this. A recent statement on their website, it says this. Okay, listen to this. I got this from their website. It says, identifying, and these are their words. You see, I can point any direction because there's a Mormon thing everywhere. So don't, is there a tabernacle? Yeah, yes, there is. They're everywhere, okay? Identifying as gay, lesbian, or bisexual, or experiencing same-sex attraction is not a sin and does not prohibit one from participating in the church, holding callings, or attending the temple. Temple of the dog has a whole new meaning, doesn't it? Temple of the dog. Think about that for a second. Identifying as gay, lesbian, or bisexual. They might as well put in their R word, or as a trike. You know, a dude trying to be a dyke, right? That's what a trike is, right? They forgot one, but I'm sure they have no problems with that. Experiencing same-sex attraction is not a sin. It does not prohibit one from participating in the church, holding callings, or attending the temple. 5 years, we're going to have a lot of trouble. Yep. A lot of trouble. And so, look, this is why this sermon is very applicable. This is why this is very urgent. We need to get all these Jack Mormons that are upset at that organization and try to get them saved, man. Because, look, what the Mormon Tabernacle does, it's going to either turn you into a queer or turn you so bitter against God that you just become reprobate concerning the faith. Yeah. You know, you got the Catholics. They're not helping out. you guys all know that. But you know, you hear about Catholic priests molesting kids every single day in the news, right? It happens every single day. Well, that same thing is happening in these Mormon tabernacles, and they're creating an army of reprobates, okay? Well, listen to this. It says, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints acknowledges that same-sex attraction is a sensitive issue that requires kindness, compassion, and understanding. Well, tell God that.
Yeah.
I want to see the look on his face. Actually, I don't, but because I've read Genesis 19. You've read Genesis 19. We've read Judges 19. It is not very kind. It is not very sensitive. And it's not very compassionate to those people. Now, it is to us.
Yeah.
Right? I think if God were to rain down fire and brimstone on all these queers, that is kind.
Amen.
That is compassionate.
Amen.
Right? That is a blessing to us.
Amen.
Because those people are monsters. And you see what they're doing here? They're manipulating people. Just bring, sin, right? Everything's just about sin, right? Oh, well, it's not a sin. You know, don't worry about it. You know, it's not a sin to feel that way. No, it's a symptom, okay? If you're same-sex attracted, that is a symptom that you're a reprobate, okay? That is a symptom. We're worried. That's what we look for, the symptoms. Like, hey, what's going on here? Because if you have the symptom, what do we say? You ain't coming in this church, right? You ain't coming in here at all. You need to leave. So let me continue reading here. They go on to say, so this was from the main LDS website. And then they say, the website mormonandgay.lds.org reinforces the reality that in the words of one Latter-day Saint scripture, God loveth his children, 1 Nephi 11:17, and seeks to help everyone better understand same-sex attraction from a gospel perspective. And remember, they say this under their salvation section, we are saved after all that we can do. You understand how blasphemous this is. They are saying that even queers are the children of God. But our Bible says they're the children of wrath. They're the children of the devil.
Yep. Yep.
Not children of wrath. They're the children of the devil.
Yep.
That's what they are. They are sons of Belial, every single one of them. Now, let's talk about that, okay? Because is that any different than the Catholic Church today? No. What are their views on queers?
They love them.
Yeah, they love them. Okay, what about New Evangelical Christianity? Yeah, exactly, right? So these three things, violating the word of God, pride, and blindness, right? We saw all of that in Lamech, right? That came from Cain's side of the world, out of the presence of the Lord. Remember, Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and from that sprung, from that birthed, human achievement, okay? And so again, you're going to find those three things being glorified. Look, they're literally just telling you in different words, we don't believe in the word of God. We are filled with pride. We like it. We love it. We want some more of it, and we're blind and we can't help it.
Yeah.
Okay? That is exactly what's going on here. And I just proved that. All of that was basically number one. Number two, of course they're prideful. You know, I mean, not all of them. Some of them are very nice, okay? Like, on an individual basis, I've gone to some of their homes, and they're very friendly. They're very kind. Just the congregants, right? I mean, they're it's like, I wish you would just get saved because they're so, you're such a cool person, right? But more and more of them, I've noticed, and the ladies yesterday definitely got a dose of this, are very, very arrogant, very, very proud. They look at us like, we do this every single week. You don't even have a bicycle on. You don't even have a white shirt. You're not even an elder. You don't even have a name tag, right? And so they start running through that checklist and their nose goes up a notch like every 2 seconds. Just, And next thing you know, they're like, they can't even see you because their nose is so high up in the air, so filled with pride. And then blindness. Well, I just read for you what they quoted. 1 Nephi 11:17. What's that? The Book of Mormon.
Yeah.
Right? They got the Book of Mormon, the Doctrine of Covenants. They got all kinds of outside of scripture type books, right? So they meet all three criteria. But again, keep this in mind. How is that any different from modern day Christianity? It's not different at all. It's the same thing. I'll prove it. Look at Jehovah's Witness. Let's talk about that for a second. I went on their website. You know, and they're kind of cryptic about what they believe. You got to click a lot and really hunt around, but we all know what they believe because we go soul winning and stuff. But under salvation, right, they basically, I think they actually upped their verbiage and change it because of all the soul winning churches and the soul winning that's going on. You know, they're like, a lot of people today are, and this is kind of what it says, like a lot of people today are saying that, you know, all you have to do is the sinner's prayer. All you have to do is believe on Jesus and you'll be saved. But that's not what happened in Acts chapter number 16. You have to be obedient. You have to get baptized. You have to turn from your sins. And they say this, here's how you got to be saved. They say, repent. And then they quote Acts 3:19. You must also repent or feel deep sorrow over previous wrong attitudes and conduct. Okay, so you literally, what is that? Well, it's no different than going into the booth with a Catholic molesting priest and confessing all your sins to him. That's exactly what they're talking about there. Your repentance will be obvious to others as you stop practices that offend God and do works that benefit repentance. So like, look, they're like on a whole nother wavelength. You know what I mean? Like, you got to be bawling your eyes out, super sorry for every single thing that you've ever done wrong to somebody, and then you can be saved. Okay? Are they filled with pride as an organization? Oh, you better believe it. Are they blind? Yes. Right? What is the head of their organization? Yeah, the Watchtower Society, right? They've got their New World Translation of the Bible too, don't they? Right? They meet all three. They violate the Word of God, they're filled with pride, and they're blind. Instead of trusting on the Word of God, they have a man-made organization, right? Look at what we've built. Look at what we've done. Listen here, you wives of Lamech. I've slain a man to my hurt. I defended myself. You know, it's the same thing. I forgot to mention this. The Mormons have their organization too, though, don't they? What do they point to? Do they point to John 3:16? No, what the prophets say over in Utah. That's what they point to. They point to the Quorum of 12 Apostles and their president, Russell Nelson, who looks like a psychopath. Heavenly Father, and his eyes are going this way. Yeah, that's what they look to. That's what they're about. Let's talk about the Catholic Church real quick, okay? What's the Catholic Church's stance on salvation? Is it by faith alone? No way, man. It's by works 100%. Now, are they filled with pride? Yeah, you ever talk to a priest? Right? Oh, he's gonna really crank that head up. Now, we get a lot of Catholics saved, right? Because a lot of them, they just go there because they think they're doing good. We love that. But the ones that are invested, the ones that are converted, boy, you got to fight on your hands, right? What do they always point to? The Apocrypha. Right? Outside of the Word of God. They don't want to go to that side of the world. They don't want to go to Seth's side of the world. They don't want to go to the religion or the faith that has been given to us by God. Notice that. He gave us the faith. We didn't have to earn it. We didn't have to work for it. They don't want anything to do with that. But again, what does the Catholic Church have in common with the Jehovah's Witness, the Mormons, let's say the Seventh-day Adventists? Because they have, you know, the Seventh-day Adventist headquarters. Right, they got these big headquarters buildings, and if you ever drive to Vancouver, you'll see a big one out in the middle of nowhere. And I think they have one here too. Don't they have like a headquarter in every city or something like that? I'm not really sure, but it's the same thing, right? Look at what we've built. Look at this tower that we've built up, and these presidents, and these secretaries, and these deacons, and all of these. And again, I don't have anything wrong with deacons, right? But their deacons are a joke. Their deacons are a lie. But what does the Catholic Church have? They got the Vatican. Right, they've got the Pope, and what he speaks is quote-unquote gospel, isn't it? Whatever the Pope says is what it is. Whatever Russell Nelson says about, you know, issues of today, hey, you need to be on the side of Ukraine, or you need to be on the side of Russia, whatever they say, that's what you got to be on. Same thing with the Watchtower Society. Whatever they say the interpretation of a Bible verse is, that's what it is. You don't get the right to read the Word of God for yourself. You don't get the right to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit because they reject the Trinity, and that's a whole other sermon, okay? And so again, does the Catholic Church meet all three? Violate the Word of God, filled with pride, and they are blind. Yeah. How are they? What demonstrates their blindness? Well, literally, they're saying the same thing that Lamech said to his wives. Hey, if God's going to avenge Cain, and I'm paraphrasing, right, because he didn't say that, but he left God out, but he's just basically saying, hey, if Cain's going to get, you know, avenged sevenfold, me, 70-fold, because I already took care of myself, right? That's what they're doing. That's what the Catholic Church does. So the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and the Catholics, what's different about them? Just the clothes that they wear, the order of services? You know, one might be a little more extreme on this area, one might be a little more extreme on this area, or they use different books or different things, you know? I don't know if the Mormons use the Apocrypha. I don't know if the J-Dubs use it. I'm sure they're not against it, right? They just don't push it. You know, you're probably not going to go to a Catholic church and get the New World Translation of the Bible. But it's really the same thing, because they'll give you an NIV. You know, they'll give you their Catholic Bible, right? You can go down to these thrift stores and find a Catholic Bible, right? And it's got 2 Maccabees and, you know, 18th Jude and, you know, Acts chapter number 37, you know, stuff like that into it, right? It's the same thing. Everything except God. It is what we have achieved. Now, here's the big one that I mention all the time. New Evangelical Christianity, Protestantism, okay? Let's talk about that for a second. What do they teach? They talk out of both sides of their mouth. Oh, no, it's a free gift. You can't work for it. But if you don't work for it, you're going to hell. How is that different from a Catholic? How is that different from a Jehovah's Witness? How is that different from a Seventh-day Adventist? How is that different from a Mormon? It's not different. Are they filled with pride? Oh, you better believe that. If anybody in here or anybody's listening, look, if you doubt that, we will prove it to you beyond a shadow of a doubt. We'll just go soul winning. We know where they live. Okay? We know where they live. I go to such and such church. Boom! Yep. And then they want to open the door later. Yeah, get out of here. I'm a real disciple. I give God of my spare time. Yeah. And he respects my offering. That's my interpretation of how they are. By and large, they are very, very, very arrogant. In fact, they're so arrogant, they're so blind, that they actually think they're doing a good job with their apologetics, you know. They'll preach against the Mormons. They'll preach against the Jehovah's Witnesses. They'll preach against the Catholics. They'll preach against the Seventh-day Adventists. They'll even preach against themselves. You know what I mean? Right? But they're no different. Look, this Episcopalian garbage over here. Yeah, yeah, over this way. Again, there's one over there, over there, over there. It doesn't matter. You know? They are no different than Create Church, Tree City Church. The only difference is just minor things on doctrine, but they meet the big three that we took from Lamech. They violate the Word of God all over the place. They let queers come in. They love queers. They all love them. They have all kinds of weird and bizarre traditions that they hold to, that they'll try to defend, doctrines and commandments of men, filled with pride. And you say, yeah, but they use the Bible. No, they use the modern versions of the Bible. You say, well, what about the ones that do use the King James? Well, you know, some of them, too, they only believe it's accurate as far as it's translated correctly. And that's what they'll tell you. A lot of Baptist churches, oh, we're King James only. They'll have it on their website, but when you go and visit their church, you know, they're like, well, in the Greek, well, in the Hebrew, it actually means this. Yeah, we wouldn't necessarily study from the New King James. Yeah, we wouldn't necessarily study from the NIV. But, you know, what we have today isn't, you know, accurate as it could be. Original manuscript onlyism. That is what Protestantism subscribes to, right? So with that in mind, how are quote-unquote Christians today different from the Catholics, from the Seventh-day Adventists, from the Jehovah's Witnesses, or from the Mormons? They're no different. They are the same, right? They're sitting here, well, we got a podcast. We preach against the Mormons of Idaho, right? And they'll email, hey, you need to yoke up with Greg Lowry. He's coming to town. You know, in Harvesters of Boise, I wish I could find who gave them my information, because they write me like letter, like emails using my full name, first and last name, and it's personal to me. Like it's not just some robot. Like they somehow think that like we're gonna yoke up with them. I guess there's some big Greg Lowry thing coming, and like, oh, we're gonna do outreach. We know that you do outreach. You would be perfect. Why don't you come on down? Yeah, I don't think so. You know, I'm not gonna go ahead and get under Sanballat's tutelage. Hopefully you know what I'm talking about, right? You know, I'm not going to go ahead and get under the king of Syria's authority, so to speak. I'm not going to go and volunteer to come under Nebuchadnezzar. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to bring me and our church under his authority and his subjection. Look, Greg Lowry's no better. You're pretty much a Mormon. You're a Mason. You're a Catholic. You're a J-Dub. You're a Seventh-day Adventist. You're a heretic. I want nothing to do with any of you. You're a joke is what you are. You say, oh, I'm not filled with pride. I'm telling you the truth. They are no different. They'll teach you that you have to work for your salvation as well. They just don't come out and say it like that. I've already proven, like this whole Calvary Chapel garbage movement, right? What's their motto? Anything goes. Look, their founder, Chuck Smith, says, I believe in both. I believe in Calvinism and I believe in Arminianism. I believe they're both true. I'm on every side of every controversy known to man. I believe that God condemns the sodomites, and I believe he blesses the sodomites. I believe it all. Okay, Lamech. Okay, buddy. Let's talk about Islam for a second. What about Islam? Let's step outside of the quote-unquote Christendom for a second. What about Islam? Are they any different?
No.
Not a chance. What do they teach that you have to do to get up into heaven? Well, you better submit to Islam, first of all. But it's by works. It's by works. Are they filled with pride?
Yep.
Are they blind?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, they're blind. I mean, they're closer to Lamech than some of these guys are, because they'll take multiple wives in themselves. But now, what's their final authority?
The Quran?
Right? Whatever someone says over in Mecca?
Cube.
Yeah, the cube. The Islamic cube. And really, this goes to everything, you know? Go to Japan and go look at the temples over there, the shrines, and Shintoism, Buddhism in Asia, and Hinduism in India, and all of these isms. Right? They meet all three. They're all the same. Right? I call a Protestant a Hindu. You're pretty much a Hindu. Now, some of you heard me do that. Well, oh, you're a Hindu? You know, who's ever seen me do that? Or I'll be like, you're a Catholic. Oh, I don't know. You said you go to Create Church? I thought, oh, you're a Catholic. Oh, I'm not a Catholic. No, I'm not Catholic. No, I don't subscribe to the Pope. Well, you violate God's word. You're telling me you got to work for my salvation. I got to confess my sins on a daily basis to stay saved. You're proud, you're arrogant, and you're blind because you can't understand a clear message that we're giving you from the Bible.
Yeah.
You meet all of them. How are you any different than any of them? And you're not. You're of the religion of human achievement. Okay, so it applies to everything. And let's not forget the atheist.
Oh, yeah.
They are no different than your leader down at Eagle Life Church.
Yep.
No different. Life Church, Create Church, Rock Harbor, Stonehenge, all of these churches in the Treasure Valley, right, that are new evangelical, Protestant, they have more in common with an atheist than they do you and me. It is so true, because the atheists, they reject the word of God.
Yeah.
Well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that's translated correctly. I don't believe that that means what it says it means. Anybody can interpret it that way. I think we'll just find out in the end. How is that any different? That's what the new evangelical is going to tell you. Right? Well, in the original languages, we could get the truth, but we don't have them today. The only difference is the atheist has more fun from a worldly perspective, don't they? They just do whatever they want. I mean, it's really the same thing that the new evangelical does. Now, are atheists, people that like will tell you they're atheists, right, that are proud of that, they're converted to that. Are they full of pride? Yeah. You can go downtown in June and see a live demonstration of that. Okay? All those people will claim in some capacity that they're atheists. Now, what's their final authority, though? Well, it's Fauci, right? It's Bill Gates. It's whatever science says. It's whatever, but it's not whatever science really says. It's what my science says. It's what the science that I choose to be true says. That is my final authority. That is my religion. Okay? And if you come at me with any science that doesn't line up with that, I don't believe it. Okay, so every single named religion on the planet is the same. The only difference is they're just ran in a different order. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. It's the only difference, right? All of them, they are the same. Look at what mankind has achieved. Look at what we have done. That is what they push. That is what they are about. And guess what? How do you move up in those systems? By doing more work, by doing more things for mankind, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 15. So Paul tells the Corinthians this, for we. Now, who's that we there? If you don't know this chapter, I'll just tell you, it's believers. It's the kingdom of God. It's people that are saved. Paul says, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish, not in the world. Okay, not in the world. So what does that tell you? Well, it tells you that 2 Nephi 11:17 is a joke. Okay, not every human being alive is God's child. Okay, but that's what the Mormons teach. That's what liberal Christianity teaches. That's what the Catholics teach. Well, he just loves everyone for everything, no matter what. Yes, we disappoint him a little bit here and there, but as long as we just get right and we say we're sorry, then we're good to go. Well, Paul says this, no, for we who are saved, we who are believers are unto God a sweet savor, right? So this other side of the world, so to speak, this religion of Cain, human achievement, God has no respect unto it. So look, this should hopefully eliminate any kind of bleeding heart towards these people.
Amen.
Think about that.
Because people, oh, why are you so mean to the new evangelical? You're going to turn them around. You should just change your car to Jesus Loves You with a phone number on it. Okay, Lamech. Okay, Nama. Okay, Tubal Cain's sister. No. No, that is not right. We who are saved are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, and them that are saved. If you're not saved, your works are garbage. They are worthless. He has no, look, listen to me. He has zero respect unto those works. You are no different than Cain. Just bring, oh, well, there's some like wheat looking things. I'll just grab those real quick on my way over past the altar here. And I'll just chuck those up to God. Be good to go. And then I'll go on my merry way and do whatever I want to do. That's Cain. How did that work out for Mr. Cain? Not too well. How's all this human achievement going to work out for these religions of the world? Fire and brimstone. All right, let's see. You can leave your place there. Go to, let's see here. Go to Matthew 23. Matthew chapter number 23. And while you're turning to Matthew chapter 23, I'm going to read for you Isaiah 64:6, which says this. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as what? Filthy rags, right? Filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. So any works done outside of the will of God, outside of his kingdom, are for naught. Yep. Right? And again, what are the Greg Lowry followers? Oh, well, we're going to get together and give ham sandwiches and porridge to people. Out of our spare. Why don't you give them something better than a ham sandwich, you know? Some sodium nitrite filled ham with Wonder Bread. You know what I mean? I mean, think about that. Even the stuff that they want to give, it's of their spare, right? It's the cheapest stuff. We don't want to do that, right? We want to give people the best. When we get them saved and we try to disciple them, like we want to give them, we want to make it right, you know? We don't want to, oh, yeah, I got a few extra little noodles here. I'll just toss that to you. Eat that. Noodles and salt and butter, you're good to go. Come on, man. Come on, Cain. What are you talking about here? Look at what Jesus says about all this. Matthew 23, look at verse number 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude, to his disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. Now, that today really doesn't apply to these new evangelicals and these Catholics because they don't even believe the Word of God. But back then, Jesus was saying, hey, look, what they teach a lot of times when they're using the Scriptures is right, but how they live their lives is wrong. The works that they do outside of this, they don't apply. They don't work. Look at verse 4. It says, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. What does that sound like to you? Human achievement. That, you see, it always goes back to that, violating the Word of God, being filled with pride, and being blind. That describes Pharisees, Sadducees, and a lot of the scribes of the time of Christ. Look at verse 5. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. Right? That is the religion of human achievement. That is what they wake up every single day thinking. What can I do to be noticed? What can I do to be glorified on the internet or in front of other people? It says this, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. You know, you can see this on a lot of these TV preachers, right? I mean, they don't enlarge the borders of their garments necessarily, right? But they'll wear loud suits or they'll, you know, I got a neon green suit. Like, what? I'm not going to say that's sin, but it's not wise, you know? It's like, you're trying to get attention. It's not modest. You're trying to get attention. You know, you get these Stephen Furticks or these other guys, you know, and they're like, oh, I'm taking roids. Well, they don't say that, but, you know, they wear the skinny jeans and they just look like garbage. They just look like the world. You know, they got the tight shirt with a hole right here. Look at my latless shirt. You know, this is great. It's aerodynamic. You know, my calfless jeans. You know, I'm not trying to show off my calves. I'm just trying to be cool up here because it's hot. We live in the South. You know, now you're trying to do things to be seen of men. Okay. Verse 6. And love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues. And isn't that what they're all about? You know, unfortunately, a lot of the old IFBs kind of fell into that trap. You know, they kind of, a lot of their leadership and I'm not knocking them. They're not. I'm not saying they're all of human achievement or anything, but they kind of like this type of stuff. You know, what can they do to be seen of man? They'll get together. That's why they like to have their conferences. You know, they keep calling us. You know, can you send? You know, can you basically fall under our authority? That's the theme of this year. It's what I've been getting a lot more of lately. You know, hey, you need to submit to, you know, this Baptist organization or this Baptist college. We really want your young people in your church. It's like, don't you know who we are? Like, you can look at our website. Just watch one YouTube video. You probably could tell, like, we're not gonna budge on this. I'm not going to come and sign up and submit myself to you. I don't want to be in your newspaper. I don't want any of that, you know. I'm not going to pass your Bible college garbage out. It's a joke. But they love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, rabbi, rabbi. Go to Psalm chapter 119. We're almost done. I'm going to wrap this up here. And while you're turning there, I'm reading for you John 7:7, which Jesus says in this verse, "The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil." Jesus says very clearly that the works of the world are evil. And that includes every religion, because everyone's religious. Everyone's devoted to something, okay? And their works are evil. He doesn't say, and their works are cute, their works are nice, their works, you know, they don't really help, but I still respect them because at least they're trying. You get an A for trying. No, he's not like that. He's like, no, you're on another program. Right. You're on the other side of the world. You are outside of my presence, and I don't like that. So again, what is the bottom line today? The world's religion is probation, not salvation. Okay, that's what all of these things put you in. Why do you say, well, why do they do that? Why do they preach that? Because it's profitable. Look, when you tell people, if you don't come to church, if you don't do this, if you don't give this, then guess what? It gets people to feel pretty bad and pretty guilty, and then they start giving grudgingly and out of necessity these things. And then what? Well, then the leadership gets rich and can go do whatever they want to do. Hey, we're not against you giving time or tithes or offerings. Those things are needful for church, right? Those things have their time and their place. But these people, right, they do it because they think, oh, look at the works that we're doing. Look at this great stuff that we're pushing. Look at what we've accomplished. You know, I was working with this guy not a long time ago, about 2 months ago. I think I told you guys this. And he's just like, how big is your building after 3 years? I told him, I don't know, whatever I thought the square footage was. Oh, we have like 4,000 people, and we had to move out of a school. We just built this large facility. And I forgot, it was like a $2 million building. Right? So he's looking at me like I'm doing something wrong. And I'm looking at him like, you're blind. You know, you've got it wrong, buddy. You're wrong. Don't underestimate us, you know, in the future. Because he's going to get to the great white throne judgment because he rejects the word of God. And he's going to look at us standing off to the side after we've already, you know, going through the judgment seat of Christ, being like, oh, guess that $1 million wasn't as cool as I thought it was. I mean, think about it. But his pride is tied to a $1 million church building that he goes to, right? There are people who come in here and are just like, a law office, really? And they would otherwise probably come here, but they're so immature. They're so caught up in the works of the world, which are evil, according to Jesus, that they're like, I just don't want to go back. It just doesn't give me that churchy feeling, right? I just want to be churchy, you know? And it's just not churchy enough for me. That's all right. You'll learn one day, pal. You will learn one day. And again, what is probation? It's the release of an offender from detention, subject to a period of good behavior under supervision. That is the world's message. That is what human achievement pushes. That is what they preach. All of it. That is what it all is. And I want to leave you with this passage here, Psalm 119. Psalm 119, look at verse 125. All of that to say these verses here. Look at Psalm 119, 125. I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. Why is this so important? Why is this in here? Look at verse 126. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Does that sound like what's going on today? Are we outnumbered? Yeah, we're outnumbered, but we're not outpowered. Okay. The world's religion has made God's word void. Look at verse 127. Therefore, so for that reason, and this is the desire and the hope for everybody inside of this church right now. Okay. He says, therefore, so because the world has made the word of God void, meaning of none effect, meaning empty, meaning vain. Because of that, he says, therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. That needs to be our attitude.
Amen.
Verse 128. Therefore, okay, therefore, so again, that means for that reason, therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. If you don't hate every false way, you know what? The solution to you getting to that point is in verse 127. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. You need to love the word of God above your materials, above everything. And once you do, all that stuff will be given unto you. Get your priorities right. And you know what? You're going to wind up hating the same things that, you know, David hated, the same things that I hate, the things that we need to hate. We need to hate some things. We need to hate every false way. In human achievement, which is the world's religion, which encompasses every sect or denomination of quote-unquote Christendom, or every ism or schism or whatever it is. Right? We need to hate that way. Not hate every single person in that way, right? That's our mission field. Our mission field is the religion of human achievement. We literally leave that lineage of Seth. We leave that side of the planet, so to speak, metaphorically speaking. And we walk over to the land of Cain, and we try to talk to Tubal Cain. We try to talk to Jubal, right? We push past Lamech because obviously he's got too far. I'm just kidding. I don't know. You know, we don't know what happened to Lamech, but you know, maybe he wisened up. I don't know. But you get what I'm trying to say, right? We go to them and we tell them, hey, this way is not right. God has no respect unto this. Look what he said to Cain. Remember the things that he said to Cain. He had no respect unto that offering. The works of the world are evil. Okay? So he says, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. And that leads to the vision, right? Knowing how to relate this concept to people is just so important. Because number one, it keeps you on fire for the truth. And number two, you know, when you tell somebody, you know, that's the world of, that's the religion of human achievement. And you could just explain that to somebody, you know, it keeps works, works, works in the forefront of their mind, right? Then you give them that Ephesians 2:8. Then, you know, you're able to allow the verses that, whatever verses that you use to tell people that you don't have to work for your salvation, it helps those to sink in to other people, right? It helps to iron out these doctrines of demons that are just everywhere. They're just growing exponentially. You know, and we have to do something. We have to be the ones that deal with it. And you deal with it, first of all, by being zealous, right? That's what it all boils down to for us, right? They've got what they're zealous about. We need to make sure that we're zealous about what Abel was zealous about, being obedient to the Lord and doing things his way, despite what Cain says, despite what the Cains of the world say or the Lamechs or whoever, right? Because you know what? Those people aren't going to go away anytime soon. We have to deal with them. And the message is very clear on how we deal with them. We deal with them by hating the way. And you know what? You say, well, are there certain people you hate? You guys know the answer to that. If you hate God, then we hate you. Okay? But look, we're going to keep this stuff, and we're going to get zealous about this and go out there and help people to understand the truth that there's only two religions in the world. One glorifies man. The other glorifies God. And you can't mix the two. There is no mixing. Oh, I'm just helping. No, that doesn't work. Okay, that doesn't work. It's his way or the highway. And that's it. And so hopefully this gave you some thought, gave you some tools, give you an ability to kind of categorize things to people, because there are some tough nuts to crack out there, right? And we need to be the ones to do that. So let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, again, for truth that you bring to us week after week. And just pray, Lord, that you help us to remember these things and to be able to communicate them to our community and to help people be disciples, Lord. We just pray that you would bless our fellowship and everything that we have going on today and bring us back safely tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
All right, well, let's grab those hymn books one final time this morning. We'll turn to song number 45, When I Can Read My Title Clear. Another great song. Let's lift up our voices one more time this morning. Song number 45, When I Can Read My Title Clear. On the first,
when I can read my title clear to mansions in the sky.
Amen. Brother David, we close out in word prayer, please.
Dear Father God, we just thank you for bringing us all here together, giving us the opportunity to gather together this Sunday morning to sing praises to you and hear your word be preached. Lord, we just thank you for a pastor that'll stand behind this pulpit, Lord, to preach boldly things of God. And we just pray that we'd be able to apply these things that we learn, although we all know them already. Lord, we just thank you for a pastor that'll bring into remembrance these things, Lord, so that we won't forget these things, Lord. And we just pray for the fellowship and soul winning coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.